Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing! I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hey, we're talking about grace today, and it's a topic that's so central to our faith, but it gets confusing for a lot of people, and here's a reality that maybe you've noticed somewhere along the way, is that Christianity gets weird when we get confused about grace, because it's so central. And poor Aunt Bethany, oh my goodness, if her family would just speak up, you know, if they would just speak up a little bit, then she would know, hey, are we talking about Grace, who died 30 years ago? Are we talking about saying grace over the meal? And today what we're talking about is not either one of those graces. We're talking about God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. And we need to talk about it because the truth is that for a lot of us, for Christians and for people that maybe if you're here and, you know, someone promised you lunch afterwards and they said, just come to church with me, and you're like, okay, fine. And you're just sort of like saying, what is this about? What are people really about here? Here's what you got to know, is if something seems off or doesn't seem like Jesus-y, it's probably because it's missing a key ingredient. It's missing grace. You've probably heard the song Amazing Grace, and no matter how many times I've sung it, I'll be first in line to say that there's many times in my life, many seasons in my life, where grace, this thing that's so amazing, this thing that is so central, sometimes it just sort of becomes average. Average grace. Oh, God, thank you. I'm so glad that there's grace, and also now can we get on to some more important things? Now can we get on to the deeper things? Oh, there's nothing deeper than God's amazing grace. And Christians without grace don't look like Christ. Christians, us Christians, when we're without grace, there's no way for us to produce fruit, spiritual fruit, the kinds of things that bless the world around us. And no wonder that so many people in the world, they'll look at Christians and Christianity, they look at us, and they'll look like Clark. They're like, oh, that's kind of weird. And actually, to illustrate this point just a little bit further, I'm going to need your help. So turn to your neighbor and say, he needs some help. Okay, just go ahead and tell him that. He does. So I need you to stand to your feet, and we're going to sing the song Amazing Grace. Yes, stand up to your feet, everybody. I'm the only one with a microphone. This is scary, and there's a lot of you. Okay, but this is a different version of Amazing Grace, okay? This is a slightly different version. We've adjusted it a little bit, and so I've put the lyrics here on the screen. It's the same tune, but this is called Average Grace. Are you ready? We're going to sing it with all your heart. All right, one, two, three.
Average grace, how mild the sound that used to shake my soul.
Sing it with all your heart.
I once was lost, then shrugged it off. My calendar's too full.
I mean, we're all busy these days. Verse 2!
'Twas great, such small grace God owed my soul, for small and average sins. Since I've done him such favors, I know he'll let me
in 7 more verses. Here we go. Just one.
For many dangers, toils, and snares I have avoided well. 'Twas my good works that shows my worth. I'm headed straight for heaven.
I got to work on the rhyme. The rhyme is quite off. So go ahead and sit down. Sit down. Give yourselves a round of applause. Oh, okay. I'm literally shaking right now because I am not a singer. And so Grace, yeah, will you give me grace for not being a great singer? Okay, thank you. Okay. But what is so amazing about it? You can sing about Amazing Grace all the time. What's so amazing about it? Because the truth is that if you look at the lives of most Christians, it's a bit more like average grace, isn't it? The truth is that most of the time, especially if you have a pretty comfortable life, especially maybe in 2025, maybe with all the comforts and amenities that come from life, living in the burbs, there's so many reasons why we just sort of naturally drift into this average grace. And we start to think things that just really aren't true. We start to think things like, well, I've done God a lot of favors. You know, he probably owes me a favor eventually. Like, I was in church like 3 out of the 4 months, and average is less than that, so I'm sure I have some blessings coming, right? And most of us, we're not like saying this to our friends. But it's so natural to start to think like that. Pastors, they're the worst, I'll tell you. They're the worst. Like, God, I have suffered for you. I have worked for you. And this is how you repay me. No, I'm just kidding. That's not how we actually do it. Hopefully, most days, that's not how it actually goes. But it's so easy to lose sight of how amazing God's grace is. And here's the thing. All year long, we're asking these questions because, and isn't it amazing that we have a God that says, ask your questions? Isn't it amazing that we can bring our doubts and our frustrations to God? And so we're asking the question today, one of the frequently asked questions, is what's so amazing about grace? Now, I'll be honest with you, very few people come to me and say, sit down, Pastor Nick, I have a question for you. You need to tell me what's so amazing about grace. I've been wondering all day. That almost never happens. But this question gets asked in a lot of different forms. A lot of times people will come down and they'll say, hey, what's the actual difference, like the main thing that's different between Christianity and other religions? What's the main difference? Or the last things like, why are some Christians really grumpy? And other Christians are really happy. Or the last things like, you know, I used to have this relationship with God and it was amazing, and now I've kind of lost that loving feeling. How do I get that back? Well, answering this question, it answers all of those questions and many more questions. What's so amazing about grace? Because Christianity without grace? Oh, Christianity, it gets weird when we get confused about grace. But the opposite is true as well. Christianity gets good. That's when it gets good. Christianity gets good when we get God's grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to get God's grace. When you get God's grace, that's when things start cooking. That's when you come alive. That's when faith starts to make sense. That's when all the people are like, oh, it's so life-changing. You're like, where's the life change? It's kind of the same, just with, you know, another thing to do on Sunday. Well, maybe it's time to take a closer look into what's so amazing about grace. Here's the first thing that I want to share with you that's amazing about grace is that grace saves you. Here's the actual lyrics to Amazing Grace, not Average Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a wonderful person. Just tell them that. You're a wonderful person. You are. You thought I was going to make you call them a wretch, okay? Now, I'll be honest, I have, ever since I've heard this song, that's the line that I'm like, ooh, a wretch? I mean, really? Like, That seems a little extreme. All right, I know some people are a wretch, but not me. I mean, some people, dying on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? I mean, when I look at my sins, really? And one of the things that I've noticed in lots of versions of Christianity is that people really try to take ownership of being a wretch. There's podcasts that are named this, and there's people that go around, they're like, oh, I'm so wretched. I just feel terrible all the time. And Christianity, it gets weird when you don't get grace. What are we supposed to just walk around just being like, oh, I'm such a sinner, and just walk around feeling all sorts of guilt? Well, it depends on what church you go to this morning, because some Christians, that's what they believe. But then on the other side of things, there's also people that will teach, you're only wonderful because it's comfortable. But we all know the truth. One of the things I love about being a Christian and following Jesus and trying to live out the scriptures imperfectly but the best of our ability by grace is that we can be honest. We can say, there are wonderful parts of you. You're made in the image of God. And at the same time, there's parts of you that are not so great. Maybe you've come a long way, but there's parts of all of us that are not so great. And so I want to say something to you, to all of, and it's not just to you, it's to me, because sometimes it's easy as a pastor to forget this about myself. I think it's a human thing. But it's a little uncomfortable. But I love you enough just to say it. Because if you don't get this part, then the grace part isn't going to make sense. And it's that you need a Savior. And it's not you. And I'll be honest, for me, in my life, it's harder to see that I need a Savior when things are going well. I mean, look at the rest of the song. The song, it says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. If you don't identify with the idea of like, yeah, there's some wretched parts of me. I've been lost. I've been blind. Like, if you can't identify with that, I know you can't sing the rest of the verse because you don't see. And you won't see how amazing God's grace is until you recognize, oh, I actually do need a Savior, and I can't save myself. You can eat kale the rest of your life, okay? That healthy stuff that tastes like grass. You know, you could eat that the rest of your life and go to the gym every single day, and you're still going to die. You could have the most self-discipline of anyone in this room, and you might do all sorts of religious things. You might really work on yourself, and you might act in ways that are holier than anybody else in this room. But you still sin. Me too. That's what's amazing about grace, is that grace is how God saves you. It's easy to think you don't need it when life's going smooth. It's kind of like this guy in the kayak here. Let's put that picture up. It's like, oh, this is beautiful. Life's going great. My 401k looks great. There's no drama in my family. Well, there's drama, but we just don't talk about it because we're Midwesterners. And so everything just feels great. And things are going great at work. I just got promoted. Hard to think that I need saved right now. And then a health problem comes, or then someone joins the company, or the market changes, or your kid has an issue. Like, there's all sorts of things that all of a sudden, this smooth river, it can change. And this is why the scriptures say, and this is where the writer of Amazing Grace gets this from, is that God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, you need a Savior. Me too. And you're not it. Jesus is. Even though we were dead because of our sins. We're on this river, and sometimes it's easy to forget that this river has a waterfall at the end of it. See, this is an easy time to be like, oh, I need God's amazing grace. And there's some of you that you're like, I'm on this part of the river of life right now, okay? And if I'm just like going over the edge, I know I'm out of control. I know my sin is out of control. I know my situation is out of control. I know I need a savior. And for you, it's probably a lot easier. I mean, you're still Lutheran, so you know you're not gonna be like, raising your hand. Well, maybe you are. Some of you, you're like the Lutherans that are like, I'm gonna raise my hands because that's how I want to worship. But for most Lutherans, they're like, I refuse to raise my hand because I'm Lutheran, but I'm feeling it in my heart, baby. Feeling it in my heart. By the way, that's the part that counts. Sometimes lifting your hands helps you to feel it in your heart. But the thing that really helps you feel that in your heart is God's amazing grace. When you see that I'm going over the edge and I need it. How did God save us? By grace? Well, this is what he did. He gave us life. How did he do that? When he raised Jesus from the dead. You know what grace is? Grace is where God gives you a free gift of everything that Jesus has earned and that you haven't. What did Jesus earn in his life and his death and his resurrection? Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. And then he went to the cross and he died for the sins of the world. And that's your sins, my sins. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave 3 days later. Not some wish upon a star thing. He predicted his death and resurrection, and then he died. And then he was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses years later. And that resurrection has changed the course of not just Western civilization, but the entire human race. He gave us life. And now, more than any other song is performed live, maybe with the exception of Happy Birthday. Amazing Grace. Did you know that song? It's sung 197,000 times, they estimate, per week. That's millions of times per year. See, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. Everyone say only. Now, here's the thing with only. Only, does that mean there's other options? Someone say, does that mean there's other options? No. But actually, yes, there is. Do you know there's two ways to go to heaven? According to the Bible. Most people, they think there's one way to heaven. They just have to outweigh the bad stuff they do with the good stuff. If they do that, then God's going to be like, ah, that's fine, I'll let you in. And they're going to come to heaven, and maybe there's pearly gates. I don't have a Bible verse for that, but maybe there's pearly gates and a big long line, and they'll have their resume, and they'll be, you know, editing their resume, trying to highlight their good features and hide some of their bad features. And they'll get to Jesus in line, and they'll open up their resume and say, look! Look at all the great stuff I did. I mean, sure, I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm sure not Hitler. Why is that the metric? But this is what a lot of people think. A lot of people think that, well, if I just balance out my good so that there's more good than bad, then I'll go to heaven. No Bible verse on that one. It's not in the Bible. At all. And I'm telling you this not because I'm trying to scare you. I'm telling you this because there's some people that do have a false sense of their security about their eternal destination. They're believing things that they've been told culturally, but God never said. And when it comes to something like eternal life, that's a pretty important thing. And so take that one off the table. Well, what are the two ways? Way one, be perfect. If you're as good as Jesus, if you've done what Jesus has done, then you're in. Way two, which is the only practical way, is to trust Jesus. To trust what he's done and that gift is for you. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. And that's why grace is amazing. Grace is through faith. It's through faith. It's an amazing part of grace. The song, it says it this way. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. In other words, it was God's grace that made me say, oh, this is important. Oh, oh, the stakes are really high. And grace, my fear is relieved. Oh, it doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on my perfection or how good I can be before God. It depends on how good Jesus is before God. Well, that relieves my fears. Oh, this grace is bigger and will last longer than any trial or tribulation that I face in life. Well, that relieves my fears. And so how precious did that grace appear? Does God's grace, does it feel precious to you? Like a treasure? Like the greatest wealth in your life? How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first believed. I don't have a Bible verse for this, but I think in, from my own experience and working with people as a pastor, the reason why some folks don't believe is not actually because they have a bunch of logical doubts, although that might be the case. It's because they haven't experienced this amazing grace. They don't trust that it's actually for them. They don't perceive how precious it is. And maybe it's because no one ever told you, or maybe it's because there's Christians that they never showed you, because Christianity gets weird when we're confused about grace. But Christianity gets good when we get God's grace. How do you believe in it? How do you trust it? Well, it's simple. I mean, we sang it in the song earlier, I take you at your word. See, you're going to be standing in this proverbial line to get into heaven. You're going to see everybody with their resumes, and they're going to be making sure that it looks good for Jesus. And you'll be standing there like, I didn't bring my resume. I was like kind of thinking that Jesus, because we know each other, that he'd let me in, and that would be how I would get in. And you'll look at everybody else, and you'll kind of feel like, wait, was I wrong? Was I right? What's happening? And then you're going to get to the front of the line, and you're like, I don't have a resume. I mean, I do, but it's not going to impress you. Because, I mean, you're holy. But I know what you did on the cross. And, yeah, I had doubts sometimes. Or I had seasons where, you know, I didn't treat your cross as holy and important as it actually is. But I came back. Because where else was I going to go? Other than Jesus. See, if God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If God says that what Jesus did on the cross is for you, what Jesus did by leaving the grave behind, that's for you, believing it doesn't mean that you never have a doubt or never have a question. Believing it means that you always come back, that it becomes who you are. It becomes the only thing that you really can depend on, and what else is there to depend on? Because grace, it's through faith. This is what the Bible says about it. God saved you by his grace when you believed. The word belief, the word faith, the word trust, they're all the same in the New Testament, in the ancient Greek. And you can't take credit for it, for this. It is a gift from God. See, some people, they don't think it's a gift from God, they think it's a loan. They'll be standing in that line and they'll be like, well, I've been a little behind on my payments, and they're gonna be really nervous. Because Jesus, I mean, he gave this incredible, incredible gift, right? Like the interest on that has got to be huge. He died on the cross. Well, I barely came to church. What am I going to do? It's not how it works. It's not a loan. You don't pay God. God is not waiting for you to pay him back for the good that he's done to you. For you. God is not waiting for you to be something and then he'll be happy with you. Have you ever owed someone some money and then every time you see them, you forget? No, just me, okay. Well, every time you see them, you forget, and then like you can't even enjoy your relationship with them because you're like, oh no, oh, I should have brought cash. See, this is a gift. It's not a loan. You can't take credit for it. A lot of us, we start to think, well, I've really worked hard for God. So God owes me some favors, right? I mean, he's got to reward me at some point, right? Well, this is what it says next. It says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. No one can be like, I know where they're going. I mean, their sins, whoa, like, definitely need a cross for those. I mean, mine, I'm good. I mean, God can kind of sweep those ones under the rug. I mean, I do pretty good for myself. How do you know if you weren't in their shoes that you wouldn't be sinning worse? If you had their story that you wouldn't be sinning worse? You don't know that. Only Jesus knows that. Only the one that created them knows that. Only the one that's walked with them through all the ups and downs of their life knows that. And so you can judge someone else and boast about your own works, but it's not going to do anything for you in that line. It's not a reward. It's a gift. Open it up. The last part of this verse is one of my favorite parts of this whole passage. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Everyone say, God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. Now you said it like this, God's masterpiece. I want you to say it, God's masterpiece.
God's masterpiece.
Emphasis on God. Because for so many of you, you think that I am the one that needs to make my life into a masterpiece. If I make my life into something beautiful, into something great, I can feel good about myself. God will be proud of me. I hold the paintbrush. Not according to the Bible. You're God's masterpiece. What are you doing trying to transform your own life? What are you doing trying to just make sure that nothing's messy in your life? You can be free of that. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Good works, God has plans for you to do good stuff. But the good works that you do, it's not gonna be because, well, I gotta balance it out, and if I don't, oh boy, my relationship with God, it might be in jeopardy. Or maybe I won't be sent to the bad place, but I know that he'll be disappointed. I know it'll just be kind of sad with me. I know it'll just kind of always be this awkwardness between me and God. Oh, Christianity gets weird when we get confused about grace. But it gets good when we get God's grace. I went to Italy years ago. This is pre-children. Remember those of you that have kids, remember the time when you could like just say to your spouse or to your friend, hey, do you want to just go somewhere? And then you would get in the car and go. Like, that was an amazing time. Like, that was wonderful. And so, you know, it's a little different for us these days, but that was a time where we were like, we should go. We should do this big trip. Let's do it. And so we did. And we went to the Vatican as a part of the trip to Italy, and we saw the building that all the indulgences that Martin Luther was ticked about paid for. And it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Have any of you been to the Vatican before? Any of you seen it? A few of you have. The rest of you are like, I thought the Lutherans weren't allowed there. I guess. I don't know. But I went to the Vatican, and I saw there's all this beautiful, masterful artwork. And our tour guide was amazing. Our tour guide, he guided us through, and he would show us. And I'm not the type of person, I know how sophisticated I seem and how cultured I seem, but I'm just not the type of person that is like, you know what we should do is go to an art museum. But this guy, he starts pointing out all these things that I would never have noticed before. He told me how expensive some of the art was. I'm like, whoa, don't touch that. It's a masterpiece. Tell me, what gave those masterpieces value? Was it the painting or the painter? What gave the sculptures beauty? The sculpture or the sculptor? You are a painting. You're a sculpture. You're a masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece, and he's created you anew in Christ Jesus, taking you from death into life. It's by his grace that he is taking your mess and making a masterpiece. And that's my last idea I want to share with you today, is that grace is amazing because it makes a mess into a masterpiece. Here's what it says in the song. Through many dangers, toils, and snares at the Saturday night service last night, I said snails on accident. That would also be very bad if you went through a bunch of snails. So anyway, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far. And I want to pause there because that's another one of those lines in this song that has at times bothered me. Because let's just be honest, there's a lot that doesn't feel very safe. As good and comfortable as many of us have things in life, there are waterfalls on the river. And sometimes it doesn't feel like grace is leading you home. It doesn't feel like grace is leading you anywhere. Sometimes it doesn't feel like grace has brought you safe thus far at all. Looks like grace brought them safe thus far, but what about me? Grace brought us safe thus far? It was 2 weeks ago that I had a situation like this personally, where I was wondering about this. Where's your grace, God? See, I have one of those days. Have you ever had one of those days where you have some of the highest highs and the lowest lows all together within 24 hours? So I became an uncle for the first time 2 weeks ago. My niece was born perfect, beautiful, and healthy. And after she was born, it was just a minute later that my youngest sister, Natalie, her mom, started hemorrhaging. And they whisked her away into emergency surgery, and her husband, Zion, starts calling the family because it was not looking good. My dad gets on a plane to get across the country. It didn't seem very safe. And so when I got the call and I went down to the hospital, she was in emergency surgery. She was in there for hours. It was late into the evening that the surgeon came out and sat down on the bed exhausted from everything. And she said, she's stable now, but here's what we have to do. We're not out of the woods yet. She's going to be in ICU. She's going to be intubated, which is a horrific experience. Some of you have seen loved ones like that. And right now, there's a shortage of platelets. She's lost a lot of blood. And we have blood, but if you want the blood to stay in there and you want her to stop bleeding, you need platelets. And there's a shortage in the metro area. There's two bags. That's it. And thank God, by his grace, Natalie, my sister, got those bags. But the thing is, the next morning, there's a device that they would have to remove for safety reasons. And when they did, if the bleeding didn't stop at that point, there weren't any more platelets. We would be in a bad place, not in a safe place. And so I remember driving home. It's like 2:30 in the morning. And I remember just thinking, God, we need your grace. We need your mercy. And I was thinking, tomorrow might be the day that my sister dies. And I was reminded in that moment of some conversations that started happening just like about a year ago or something like that. Natalie's always followed Jesus, always been a believer, but had a season where grace started to become kind of average. There were other things that were going on. And then one day, like honestly, like many of you, she watched The Chosen, which if you don't know what that is, it's just a show that some people have made about Jesus' life. It shows like the human side of him, his humor, his compassion, his grace. And it really emphasizes kind of the things that happen in between the lines that ancient readers would get, but modern readers of the Bible maybe we'd miss. And so they do a really good job with that. And Natalie, she started watching that, and grace started to become amazing for her again. I was reminded of these conversations where she would come to me, and she would say, "What do you think of this? Or is that really the way that it was in the Bible? Is that how it actually is? Is Jesus, I never knew Jesus like that. I mean, I always pictured Jesus so like serious and kind of disappointed in me." And she started to get this glimpse of God's amazing grace. See, Natalie, she was in the ICU, and next morning I got there, and it was like my sister had gone from death to life. I walked into the hospital room, and there was my sister, no longer intubated, with little Jamila laying on her chest. There was my sister, the device was removed and the blood had stopped. And I know that not everybody gets the story of like everything looked like it was going towards death, and then we got life. And yes, there's going to be a day where Jamila is going to have to attend her mother's funeral. But not yet. On that day, we got to see a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. What it's going to be like when we see those we love that have gone from death to life. Where the period at the end of the sentence on the last page of the book of their life becomes dot, dot, dot on the introduction of their story, because God's got an eternity to write. See, it's grace through the ups and downs, through the messes of life. It's grace that will lead us home. Here's a picture of beautiful Jamila and my sister Natalie. Oh, I love him so much. My sister's so beautiful. Zion, I love him a lot too. He's beautiful too. for real though, they're just so wonderful. And to see them home, oh, that's what grace feels like. It's amazing. And even if you don't have that story for your loved one, there's going to be a day where you do. There's going to be a day. Yes, you've been on the waterfall. But look at the end of the song. The end of the song, the last verse, it's my favorite. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining is the sun. Did you know in heaven, we're going to go around and we're going to be able to see the stories, all the waterfalls that people went through and how God saved them. And we're going to go around and Jesus is going to be the tour guide from Italy, and he's going to say, look at this and look at that, and here's how I saved them. I brought them from here to there. And everyone will say, wow, they were a mess. But look at this masterpiece. We're not all bright shining like the sun today, but there's going to be a day where you and the people that you love, because of Jesus Christ, because of his amazing grace, you're going to be bright shining as the sun, and we've no less days to sing God's praise. Oh, there's nothing like amazing grace to make even a Lutheran raise their hands for that love and feeling to come back, to sing God's praise than when we first begun. So here's the question that I want to end with today. Where do you need God's amazing grace? Because everything that I've said, all the information that I've shared, it doesn't matter unless you can go home with an answer to this question. So don't do the thing that I do sometimes when pastors say, think of this question. I'm like, cool, I'll think of it sometime. No, do it right now. Maybe it's a sin that's got control over you. Maybe it's a situation that you just know you're out of control. Maybe it's kind of, you've been sort of like just, I don't know, meh about everything, and you don't know how to get out of that rut.
Maybe you've felt so much pressure your entire life trying to make God happy with you. God loves you. God smiles when he sees you. He doesn't smile when he sees you because you do everything right. He smiles when he sees you because he loves you. He smiles when he sees you because of his amazing grace. It's not about you. So the pressure's off. And you know what's so amazing is that when you get to see the eyes of Christ, the amazing grace in those eyes, all of a sudden all those good things that you felt like you were supposed to do, now you just kind of want to. And then when you fail, you don't have to be afraid because you know that you have a God whose love is not dependent on your performance. You have a God who loves you. His amazing grace is for you. And so during this song, I don't want you just to sing because we sing songs at the end of a service. I want you to receive, to embrace God's grace, and to worship him with all your heart, to give him that sin, to give him that situation, to give him whatever it is that you need grace for today, and to let him have it. Let him make you into the masterpiece you're meant to be. Because Christianity, it gets good when we get God's grace. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing to this God with his amazing grace.